Let's turn back tonight to the book of 1 Peter. And I want you to find your place in 1 Peter. And then if you have your workbook, I'll give you a page for that in just a minute as well. And I want to kind of give a little bit of a running start into this. So look on page 323 if you do have your study guide with you. And then turn to 1 Peter. We're in now the general epistles of the New Testament, a general audience, not a very specific recipient as far as a church or an individual. Peter's writing to people enduring persecution. At the bottom of page 323, where we started or left off from a couple times ago with the persecution, he gave us some advice for making the best of hard times. And we looked at those a little bit briefly. On the next page, we got to the middle section where it talks about holy living. The word holy meaning being set apart for a specific purpose. And then there are, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, something like that, little bullet points here where Peter discusses what we can do to be holy. Now, I really don't remember where I left off last time. Where did Jim Bailey go? There he is. Hiding. All right, he's hiding. It's like, Jim always knows where I left off. So, I'm going to kind of give you a little quick repeat of where we have been with this. And again, I truly don't remember all the way where I left off. I think it was after the first or so. I think maybe the first point. So, what Peter says, as you think about holy living, and remember I said 2 weeks ago, this is so important, and it is so hard. Holy living, now watch this, holy living begins in your mind. See, most of us like to identify and equate holy living with what we see on the outside. Which is why I don't wear Dallas Cowboy stuff. No, I'm just playing. Let's play. I love you, Amy. You said it's been 14 years you've been part of? Oh, my goodness.
I definitely do.
Wow, 14 years. I think I've been here 15. We've known each other about the same time. Let's play it. Oh, my goodness. Wow. All right, so holy being set apart, and it starts in your mind. Here's what Peter says, chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, now look at this, gird. Okay, that's kind of like prepare, right? Support your minds for action. So that's the very first thing Peter mentions. Now, in the rest of that verse, we're going to look at probably two more that are in your books. Let's read the verse, and then we'll put them up onto the screen. Therefore, thinking about being holy, as God is holy, being set apart in a world where it's difficult to do, therefore, gird your minds. Your minds are prepared, right? You're kind of supporting there your minds for action. You're keeping sober in mind. Now, my Bible puts here in spirit in italics, which means it's not in the original Greek, but it's been added to the English text. So keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. There's the word grace again, right? Amazing grace. Okay. The grace to be brought to you at the revelation. Okay. That's when Jesus returns, a revelation of Jesus Christ. So number one, first thing that we list here is prepare your mind. Now, number two, kind of go through this kind of quick. Second thing Peter says, apostle, authorized to teach, to preach, guided by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, number two, make sure you keep sober. Now, it's easy to think of the word sober. Most people only think like some kind of substance. You want to make sure you're clear-minded. And while you can use it that way, spiritually speaking, there's a comparison here to making sure your mind is clear. But what Peter says, let's look at the footnote in my Bible here. Let's see here. Be sober. Okay, yeah, keep. Okay, same thing literally. All right. Keep sober, be sober. And what the book, the author of the book puts, I think good help for us in parentheses, is the idea of the self-control. You can be under the influence of something. Well, you're going to be under the influence of something regardless, right? Paul says that you are to be under the influence of, filled with, Holy Spirit, right? He should be guiding, he should be leading, he's empowering type thing. So I think Peter's are borrowing a little bit with that when he talks about being sober in spirit, being self-controlled. And there's so much more that could be unpacked with that, but it's not the purpose of this. So I'm going to leave it at that for now. And the third thing we saw from this verse points us to the future, points us to the return of Christ. This is not the first time that Peter, in speaking to people who are enduring persecution in hard times, that he's reminded them, don't forget about the fact that Jesus is coming back. Don't forget about the book of Revelation. Okay, don't forget what I wrote to you. Paul wrote to you in 1 and 2 Thessalonians about his return. So in the verse, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, spiritually speaking, and then fits. And notice the word there, fits, right? Fits your hope. If you're going to take a basketball pole and put it into the ground, dig the hole and then add some concrete, right? Fits it there, right? It's more like a permanent type thing. All right. Fits your hope. And the hope is not fixed on the latest news cycle. The hope is not fixed on the next election. The hope is not fixed on the next rise in the stock market, right? The hope he's talking about is fixed on completely, he says, on grace. And it's grace that is going to be brought to you or revealed basically when Jesus makes his return. Okay? Fit your hope on that. So when you get those days where you're mad at everybody, I know y'all never been there, but just in case you ever do. You get those kind of days. Rose, I'm seeing something right now. We won't say anything more about it. But you know you get those days where everybody gets on your nerves. Nothing goes right. It's aggravating. That's why you turn the TV off at halftime sometimes, right? It's just aggravating. It's difficult like that. You know what I need to do? You know, Lord, I'm aggravated. I'm kind of mad. Hold on. I just thought of something. Jesus is coming back. Huh. All right, let me think about that instead right now. Okay, that's what Peter's doing. They're being persecuted. They're losing their lives. All right, don't forget. Listen, y'all. He's writing to his church. Listen, now, don't you forget. There's coming a day when the amazing grace is going to be revealed when Jesus returns. So when I'm going through some really difficult times, like, all right, Lord, I got to try right now to not focus on the here and now, and somehow I got to have a heavenly focus, and I got to remember that he's coming back. Okay, Peter says that's going to help you. That's what he's doing. He's an apostle. That's going to help you. That's what he's doing. All right, holy living, right? Mind, he says there, preparing the mind, girding the mind, preparation there. He speaks of sobriety, right? Like I'm under control here. Holy Spirit leading me, a self-control. I'm not being, you know, pushed and bumped and, you know, moving all over the place with every little wind of doctrine that comes along. I'm, you know, got that under control. And he says, I want to make sure I set my hope on the fact that he's coming back one day. Okay. Give me anything you want to add, ask, share about that verse and those 3 points that Peter makes there. Okay, let's look at the next one then. In verse 14, let's read the verse and then we'll jot down and fill in the blank. Okay, after speaking about the mind being sober in spirit, fits in your hope, then he says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. Let me read verse 15. Don't be conformed to the former desires and passions which were yours when you were not saved, didn't know any better. But right now you want to be like the Holy One. There's a holiness again, the one who called you. And again he gives that command to be holy yourselves, be a set apart also in all of your behavior. And the reason for that is because of what we read in the Old Testament. It's written there, you shall be holy for I am holy. So in verse 14, here's what the author is getting at in this verse. When it comes to holy living, don't conform to your former lusts, desires, and passions. And he says those were what you experienced in your ignorance. So that means that even in Peter's day, in the first century, no, they did not have social media. They didn't have computers. They didn't have internet. Wow, just so much they didn't have. It must have been a lot easier to live back then. I don't know. Because Peter says, you know what? Even here in this first century, y'all got some desires and things that you've been accustomed to doing before you were saved. that you are not to be doing, even if you ain't got a computer, right? Even if you ain't got this and ain't got that. So you understand the human heart does not change, right? Wasn't it King Solomon that says, really, there's nothing new under the sun type thing? So Peter, and speaking about, again, the holy living, says as obedient ones who are following after God, don't be conformed to those former desires, passions, lust, and they were things you did in your ignorance. Now, y'all can help me. Is verse 14 and verse 15 to be like the Holy One who's called you? Are verses 14 and 15 easy? Can we just be honest here tonight? Ain't nobody here but us. What happens on Wednesday night stays here on Wednesday night. Can we say that? I'm just playing. But you know what I'm saying? If we would just be honest, say, you know what? I had a professor. His name was Bill Bennett. He was about 90 years old and still jogged 3 miles a day. And he got after us for not jogging every day like he did. And he was a pastoral theology professor. And it's things he said about life. And one thing I'll never forget, he said, we are fellow strugglers along the way. This man has walked with God for decades. You know, 90 years old, he's a statue, he's a monument of faithfulness, early morning prayer time and, you know, commitment to God. He said, listen, boys, we're just fellow strugglers along the way. So verses 14 and 15, just because they're in the Bible, just because Peter says to do it, and just because you're saved doesn't mean that it's real, real easy to do. Life is a struggle, right? It's that tug of war. Remember Paul talks about desires of the flesh that Peter's talking about here, and then fruit of the Spirit, desires of the Spirit. And he says, man, these things are constant. They're constant. And again, if we can just be honest, do you find some days where one side's winning more than the other? Uh-oh, there's my giggle, right? Do you find some days where it's like, it just seems like the flesh is a little more hungry than it was the day before? And then you got some other days where you're like, I think I kind of got this thing figured out now. It's like, yeah, I'm walking good with God now. It's a constant, constant battle. So y'all may not believe when I say this. When somebody comes to me and says I've failed, I don't condemn them. You know why? Because I understand we are fellow strugglers along the way. Ain't none of us all the time, day by day, exactly where we want to be with that tug of war that takes place. Submit to the Spirit, right? Be controlled by Holy Spirit. And you find more and more victory when it comes to those battles and that battleground. Sometimes people come along and you know what they do? Just because of who they are and things they say, all of a sudden the flesh starts winning more. You know, like, if I could right now, I'd hurt you. It's a good thing I'm not God right now. You'd be a pile of ashes. I've been there. I'm not lying. I have been there. Lord, it's a good thing. Because if I were the one looking down on what's going on right now in that place and that place and that city when they're celebrating, I'd have burned them on the spot. I mean, I'm just telling you, right? Because you've got an innate desire for doing what is right and you want righteousness to win. And it's hard. So thank God He's patient. And He's long-suffering. And you know what? He's an amazing grace that will save wretches. Yes. We were wretches. Yes. Tricia, we were wretches.
Yes.
Amazing grace. And Peter says, take that grace and don't forget it's going to be revealed one day when He returns. All right, give me anything there. Again, I ain't got time to go through all of it, but anything about that point stands out, you like, you don't like, you want to fight about? Oh man. Alright, let's do another one then, because we still got a little tiny bit of time. We really don't, but let's do it since I started a little bit late. Look in verse 22. Alright, we're talking about holy living. Alright, since you, now remember he's talking to believers scattered for persecution, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls, in other words, you've gotten saved, you've purified your souls for a sincere, unhypocritical love. That's what it is, literally. An unhypocritical love of the brethren, then fervently love one another from the heart. Here's what he says. The author pulls it out this way. When it comes to holy living, and I've said it so many times, there needs to be something different about the way you live your life compared to the way the world lives their lives. And that really, truly better for sure be the case inside among the people of God. So Peter encourages them with holy living. Make sure, as you have obeyed the truth, that you've got a sincere love of the brethren. Do not, wow, this calls for church discipline. It truly does. Do not come into a local church family. Don't be a part of a local church family if you're in there hating on people. If you can't love, and listen, it don't mean they're going to be perfect, but if you can't love the people you worship with in a local setting, man, something is not right. And it must have been happening in the first century, because he says here, make sure you've got a sincere love, an unhypocritical. Don't play it. Don't play the part. And then when you leave, you talk about them the whole way home. Unhypocritical love for the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And I'll tell you something really, really quick, and I'm going to stop. But it's meant the world to me. Monty doesn't even know it. I think it was last Sunday, a week ago, and they were getting ready to get into the choir practice time, I think. And there was a devotional question that popped up. Something about coming to church or why do you come to church? I can't remember. And I heard somebody in the choir, I think it was Agilon Monteith Clift, I think. But nonetheless, I heard somebody, and he said, the person said this. Well, I kind of think about church like this. He said, I kind of think about like just going to a family reunion every Sunday. My little ears heard that. I thought, wow, Lord, please make it that way at Mountain View. Please make it where people just, like, I just can't wait to get there and see so-and-so. Catch up on something. I just, like, man, I love it. It needs to be like a family. And I don't care if you've only been here for 7 or 8 months or whatever it's been, 9, 10 months or 3 weeks or whatever it is. Or even 20 years or 14 years. I tell people, when you come here to Mountain View and they're new, I say, when you come here, I want you to treat me like you've been here 20 years. If you need something, listen, you just act like you're at home. There's a reason we say it's a place to call home. And I love when people visit, like, man, there's just something different there. Like, I've never been in a church that's that loving. And I feel like I was home. I'm like, bingo. Amen. I love it. I love it. So, love one another with a pure heart, fervently. That is part of holy living, being set apart. Don't be like the churches where they're fighting all the time. Don't be like the churches where they split every 5 to 8 years because somebody gets mad over the color of the carpet, the light bulb wattage in the chandelier. Don't be like that. And so I love y'all. I truly do. Thankful for our church. All right, anything on that last point that Peter mentions before we go for the night, and we'll pick up with that, and hopefully, oh, we're going to get into some fun in chapter 3 with husbands and wives, so y'all just be ready.
Can't wait to hear that.
I know, I can't either. I can't either. It's going to be fun, yeah.
Well, it'll be to have
laughs. All right, anything before we go? We're good? All right. Okay.
Pastor Keith, I will say, you talking about church family?
Yes, ma'am.
Gaslight came on today. Who came to save me?
Delmas. Oh, I love that.
That one got a can of gas in her truck.
Oh. Beautiful.
And she pulled out on the road and did a burnout and it
was all yeah, that don't take much, does it? Now she needs new tires. I love that. I like it when people are comfortable calling when they need something.
Yes.
Like Tracy Rogers a couple weeks ago. She's like, Mama's toilet stopped working upstairs. We can't get her downstairs every time. She's like, can anybody in the church come look at it? I said, I'll come. Like it was Sunday afternoon. I said, I'll stop by after church. I mentioned it to Monty. He said, I'll go with you. It's like two of the most handsome guys in the church right now. Just playing, just playing, playing, playing. No. But yeah, and I love stuff. I'm like, listen, anytime you need something, just let me know. I'll find somebody that can help. So, Amy, I'm so glad. Delmas, thank you.
Well,
thank you
for your help. Blessing County
health. Oh.
My bank account is skinny.
Oh. Well, love one another with a heart. Do it fervently, unhypocritical, sincere.
Said, love
and I
people,
love that.
Love people.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's another thing I think is pretty good somebody came up with in the past. Anyway, okay, let's pray as we get ready to go. Lord, we thank you for this evening and the chance we've had to pray and then to be reminded of your amazing grace and then to look a little bit at what Peter says about holy living among so many who are involved in just extreme persecution, trying to give them some points to help them in keeping their eyes looking forward to eternity, the return of Christ, and considering the love within the church family. And we're very thankful for that here at this place called Mountain View Baptist Church. We are seeking your hand to be upon everything. All that is done here as we anticipate upcoming events in the next week or so, and even into the future and getting ready, oh my goodness, for Christmas time and everything there. Lord, it's your church, and we're privileged to be a part of it. So bless it, use it, and protect us now as we head back to our homes tonight. We offer our prayer for these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Okay.